Would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist union.
Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Liberty NZ. I'm Grant Edwards, and with me is Dennis Hall. And Dennis is going to be talking to us about the by-election that's just recently been held. I think it was yesterday, wasn't it, Dennis?
Yeah.
Good morning. How are you feeling?
Old. There's another sign come up on the front of the screen. There it is. Is that gone? Okay, good.
You look good. I don't feel old, but I do kind of hurt a bit in the mornings. What about you?
Yeah, I always hurt a lot.
Well, it's good to know. I injured myself, as you know, a few months ago, and I got several hernias, and I couldn't even put my own socks on. I had to get my son to help me with my socks. But I've managed to get. I'm still waiting for an operation. They're so slack. The hospital system's completely ruined. It's in tatters, isn't it? But I can get my own socks on again now, which is nice for a change.
I've had a lot of luck with the old hospital.
Yes, you've been good, and my friend's been good in Palmerston North. He went to Palmerston North Hospital, and he was seen straight away.
Really, I don't like the Palmerston North Hospital. No, Wellington Hospital.
Yeah,
saved my life a few times.
Oh, very good.
They've taken my heart out, put it on the table, had a bit of muck around with it.
Are you serious? They took your heart right out.
Stuck a new bit in it. Oh. They disconnected it because they had to put a new valve in it. But, you know, and they did a bypass at the same time, but that was the second bypass operation I've had. So
Dennis, are you serious? Mm-hmm. They take your heart out and put it on your chest?
I doubt it, but something similar to that.
Oh, all right.
But they certainly just
long cables.
They got it disconnected. Yeah. Well, they put you on a machine that supplies you with blood and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was there, but I wasn't sort of aware. There, not aware.
Hmm. Yeah.
Are we talking about health or politics?
Well, health. Well, health is knackered, isn't it? It's absolutely stuffed. I rang a doctor a week. Mm? I rang a doctor's surgery. There's only one. I think I mentioned it. There's only one working out of three because the other two don't want to be vaccinated, so they're not allowed to work. Not allowed to come to work, and they don't want. Who wants to wear a mask all day every day? You know, who wants to do that? You know, stuck in a room with people with sniffing and coughing and farting and. You know, and you've got to wear a mask, I suppose.
Yeah, there must be a
farting must be right. Might be good to have a mask on when they're farting. But it just seems so weird. You know, you just see all these people, masketeers. John Ansell calls them the masketeers. They're just fearful of this unknown virus. It's just a brilliant way to sell drugs, isn't it? Just a brilliant way to sell vaccines. Just get the people in fear. Anyway. I know we've all got our own ideas on that, but let's talk about the by-election, shall we, today? And I'll try not to cross to hijack your.
National won it.
Right. Well, that's interesting.
Well, yeah, it was kind of interesting. Yeah, I think it was obvious that they were going to win it because I don't believe that they won it because they were being really clever and smart and everybody loved them.
Aye.
I think that they just voted for National to get rid of bloody Jacinda.
Yeah.
So even if National had fielded a monkey, they still would have won.
Mm.
And because, you know, there are times when it's rather than voting for this is better than that, it's sort of voting for good God, let's get rid of this rubbish.
Yeah.
So that's what they did. And but the other thing about it that sort of annoys me a bit is all those little parties. Because, you know, I mean, there was a party there that I had been taking notice of because I was involved with Silent Majority Team New Zealand when that first got started. It was very successful for a while.
Mm.
But they've you know, they formed that NNP party.
Yeah.
And I immediately ran away. But they joined up with Hannah Tamaki. Timothy? What's that guy's name?
Brian Tamaki's wife. Yeah,
Brian Tamaki's wife.
I don't know why Brian doesn't run. I suppose because he's pastor of a church, so he's probably busy with that.
But I mean, he's a self-appointed pastor. Did he go to sort of pastor school or something?
Well, I think you could say that about everyone who's a pastor, you know. He calls himself Bishop Brian. I think that's all right. He's the bishop of a church, and you have the hands laid on you by the elders, and they appoint you as a bishop. I don't think he's self-appointed. I think you could say that about every church, if that's the case.
People don't
stay in the church if they don't want you. If they don't like what you're saying, they're going to go, aren't they? They're not going to hang around.
Well, they obviously thought that they were going to get elected.
Mm. All right.
Well, they thought they were going to do better than they did, but it looked to me, I mean, it's sort of 9:30 last night, they had 59 votes.
Really, everyone's vying for the, like with the main election coming up in September, it's really a job for the CEO. That's what I think. Who's going to run the corporation? And it doesn't matter whether you're blue or white or red or all these other minor parties, just makes them laugh because all it does is fragment the vote. In the end, it's now the red. They've had enough of the red. The World Economic Forum have said, right, we're not having any more red. They've done a good job. You know, they've done put all the, you know, made the people hate them. And now we'll bring blue in. And we'll still carry on doing what we wanted to do anyway, because we've got people in that have infiltrated the Blue Party, the National Party. It's just a joke that we actually think we're voting for parties. We're voting for a United Nations agenda that is not ours. It is. They are not listening to the people. They are listening to these weirdos that are running the United Nations, and the World Economic Forum is just another name for the New World Order. Same pig, new lipstick. Anyway, I'll finish my rant.
Well, you know, I'm not sure that I agree with all that, but what I do agree with in the sentiment of all that is that there's something badly wrong with politics. And I think that the foolish thing about that is that for all these people who want to rush off and start these what I call Mickey Mouse parties.
Absolutely. Stupid,
isn't it? It is really damn silly, because if you look back through the – I mean, my problem is, I suppose, that I've been – well, I've actually been watching politics for like 60 years.
Oh, that all?
60? Well, yeah. It's I mean, that's because I started watching it at sort of 15 years old.
Yeah.
And because it interested me. Sid Holland was the Prime Minister then. Most people never heard of him.
So I've heard of Sid Holland. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, but, you know, and along came, every now and again, some new little wee tiny party will come along, and there'll be a whole lot of enthusiasts, and they'll rush around the place, and they'll be convincing each other that they're going to get elected in, and then they'll stand for election. And it'll be like it'll be like a half inflated, you know, beach ball that'll sort of then go and sort of disappear up its own ass.
Yeah, it's a waste of time, isn't it?
Complete waste of time. And so, and you know, I think that they should go back and have a look at a few of those before they go and waste the time, effort, money, and enthusiasm on nonsense. What I believe about politics in New Zealand. And because that's where I live, and that is thus: there are, at the moment, there are Greens. I wouldn't vote for Greens for anything at all. But you know, they could mow lawns, or clip the hedge, but nothing else. And anywhere near.
You can chop them up and put them in the pot and have them with some meat. Greens are good for that.
And so there's the Greens, and I just see them as being weird. And then there's Labour and National, who are sort of the very traditional opponents for each other. So, if you know what I mean, so they know they've got each other's measure. You know, they know what each other believes. They don't. The belief system doesn't change very much at all. But you know, we've got now the most subversive Labour government we've ever had, ever. And then if you think about what they did last week with Three Waters, for them to go Three Waters, what, you know, people think what they say is that Three Waters is about good, clean, fresh drinking water. Well, that's actually a flat out lie. That's just a cover story. The real reason is it's a method of giving all the water infrastructure to Maori.
Yeah.
And you know, and give Maori. Oh,
but it's not all Maori. It's just this elite group of iwi.
Oh, well, yeah, of course it is, because Mr. and Mrs. Ringy are not going to see anything out of all that.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, so they are being used, they and what they're sort of what they represent to the country is being used really to steal vast amounts of money and power and whatever. And a whole lot of New Zealanders, you know, up there in Auckland and Remuera and places like that, there's going to be some of these dainty, silly buggers who have been to university, learned some funny stuff, gone home and told mum and dad. Mum and dad sort of shrug because they think it's crazy. But, you know, and so what they'll do is they'll, you know, they think they've got a vote for the Tangata Whenua or something, because it's kind of it's an ideology, you know. They're bought into this ideology, and the reality is that, you know, the reality of all this is, you know, the difference between Maori and European in New Zealand is that is just a slight skin colour difference, really. But the reality is they don't. Maori don't live in a Maori society or in a Maori culture. They live in a European culture. Everything yes. about them, mm. you know, when they jump out of bed in the morning, and put their socks on and their underpants and shirt and all that sort of stuff and pants, and make sure their keys are in their pocket and have some Weet-Bix, go outside and jump in the car and go down to work wherever they work. All of that stuff is part of the European culture and society. None of it. The Maoris didn't do any of that back in the day when it was their culture, you know, when they lived their culture. And all of these people never lived their culture, so they've got this sort of made-up idea of all of that. And so that's influencing politics in New Zealand. But, you know, so there's one of the sort of reactionary groups to that are these small parties. Because, you know, they feel as though they're not being heard and just simply not being listened to and disregarded. And so, but they're making this ridiculous mistake of going. I mean, there was about five of them at least in that by-election, and they got bugger all votes, but they got a few. And so, you know, you'd think they'd all stand there at the end of this and have a look at the results sheet and go, oh, well, we didn't do very well. Did we? Look what we didn't get. We got, you know. So I would have thought that so they joined up with the Tamaki's. NMP joined up with the Tamaki Party, which they called Vision New Zealand. And I reckon they'd be lucky if they hit 100 votes, because late last night they were only up to 59. And I haven't been able to find the numbers today, so maybe people are hiding it, but. But, you know, I mean, there's a huge amount of time and effort gone into all that, and it's a mistake because we're doing politics the wrong way. I think the right way to do politics is to get a very big group together, which is what Silent Majority Team New Zealand was turning into, and then go and get National by the balls and squeeze hard and say, right, guys, you know, we represent a substantial vote. We also represent a substantial lobby group, so we're here. You need to listen to us, otherwise we're going to make life difficult for you.
Mm.
Because, but you know, you, we can offer our vote to either you or David Seymour, who's obviously doing a better job at the moment than these guys. But I sort of feel as though, I mean, I'm being very opinionated, but my feeling is that Christopher Luxon is, they say he's a globalist. I think that's right. I think that he, at first I thought, oh, well, he was a manager of Air New Zealand, so maybe he'll do a good management job and so could be good for Prime Minister. But I actually think now that Judith Collins would have been a better fit.
I do too. I agree with that.
Yeah, so
I'm surprised that they didn't like her. I mean, I really liked her. I liked the way she handled the media. She really enjoyed getting in front of the media. She enjoyed the journalists. She loved to have them around her and talking to them, and she treated them all with respect. And they did her, I think, too, because they knew she liked them.
Mm. She was good value. But, I mean, so if you look at her skill set, It was all about politics. She'd been in politics for years. She was a seasoned bloody veteran. And this guy's brand spanking new.
And a good businesswoman. My friend, Domenico Mosca, had a restaurant with her, the Italian Job, years ago, in Gervois Road. Very nice Italian restaurant. She was his partner. He speaks very highly of her. And that's rare, isn't it? Usually when you go into partnership, it doesn't last long. the best partnership's one, isn't it? Partnership of one.
So these little parties are using up a lot of energy.
Yes, they are.
And getting bugger all votes. Mm. And they, you know, and their belief systems are not really very much apart. But, you know, so it's actually ego that keeps them going. And if you talk about Tamaki, I mean, there's an ego for you. I mean,
I disagree with you on that. I think he genuinely cares about all New Zealanders, not just Māori. And I think he cares as much for, I think he cares for non-Christian people, probably more than Christian people. I really think he's a genuine guy. I haven't seen anything that's, all I've heard is bad stuff about him, but I haven't seen any evidence that he's no good for this country.
But Grant, look, I lived in America for a while. One of the things I used to watch on the TV was the televangelists, and he's one of them.
Oh,
and it's a very
they are shockers, mate.
They're awful people.
They're shockers. They just make merchandise out of people. Nothing like that. Nothing like
we have to beg to differ. I think that's his potential. I think that's where he got his.
I've followed those people, the Kenneth Copelands and the Benny Hins and the Joyce Myers, and I wouldn't cross. There we go. Yeah, that's right in the middle of a good talk. Anyway, what I was going to say is that I would certainly put Tamaki way ahead of any American evangelist. I think that he's there with Franklin Graham, and who else would he be with there? He's a guy that cares about his church and he cares about us. And I haven't seen any bad stuff come out of Brian Tamaki, no matter what he says. Look at that. He's on the phone. He's on the blower to someone else. Honestly.
Oh, the house is on the market.
Oh, that's right. The house is on the market. Anyway, so I'm going to tell him this when he comes back. I believe that we need to be the lobby group of Team New Zealand, the one we had, was a good one. And I think that we need to really get some good lobby groups going. And as he said, show National or Labour, if you want to go Labour. I wouldn't go Labour if you paid me. But then Labour can be good as long as they're not controlled by the World Economic Forum. And I can tell you that both of them are controlled by the World Economic Forum. Right. Oh, you're back now.
Apologies.
That's all right. I think you're right that we need to put our energies into lobby groups like Team New Zealand. What was it called? Something rather Team New Zealand.
I'd like to go. I'm sort of thinking seriously about going back and having a talk to Mike because I like him. We got on very well. And I think it needs to, I'd like to think that you could save the day by going back because it had a large membership. The other place that's got a large membership what's it called? The New Zealand Centre for Political Research, NZCPR.
Yes, that's good. Yeah,
I agree. Those groups are generally right wing.
Yeah,
and so but they need then you know there needs to be a you know they can keep on going but there needs to be a sort of a right wing forum. And I'm not talking about hard right. I'm really talking about centre right. But there needs to be a really serious lobby group, to which is what each one of those funny little political parties are trying to be, and not succeeding. But they all got together, and pulled their resources, and they've got to decide on a reasonably straightforward set of values. But they absolutely need to stand by the same values, I think. And the values have got to include everybody in the country, not just people on the right, and so they need to be able to express those views, and not belong to a political party. But if they were a very big group of people, and they had an income stream by whatever means, donations or whatever, so they could speak to a wide audience. and then, you know, say to the government, you know, to the people standing for election, right? Well, we're prepared to put our efforts behind you, but you know, you need to these sort of things need to be adhered to, and the Maorification of New Zealand has got to stop. You know, that would be a bottom line for me. It's because the Maoris get the same benefits as all the rest of us, and what the Maoris do get, which they seem to forget, is they get the benefit of the civilization that we bought, and they live in the civilization, and they're all those politicians, their entire lives, are absolutely steeped in European, and European everything, you know, everything about what they do. There's nothing that they do that came out of early Maori culture, zero. It all came out of European culture, the lot. And European culture is the one that keeps on providing, that new things come along all the time, and so it's providing new stuff, bigger jets, better phones, you know, better health systems, better ways of fixing people up, that, you know, better everything.
And a digital ID.
I'm a bit worried about that, but yeah, but you know.
Let's stay focused on National and Labor for a moment. I believe that we need to get rid of the World Economic Forum infiltrators, the globalists. I think that everybody knows that's what they are. They actually got to decide for themselves, am I going to be a New Zealander? Or am I going to be a globalist? Am I going to look after and do what the people of New Zealand, the majority, want me to do? Or am I going to follow a foreign power called the World Economic Forum and the United Nations Agenda 2030, which we didn't vote for? So they have to decide, am I going to be a Kiwi or am I going to be a globalist? And if you want to be a globalist, then you're out. We're going to vote you out. And we need to replace these globalists with people that love the country.
Well, I'd agree with that, and I'd go so far as to say that in amongst the right wing vote, there's a lot of people who feel the same way. That, you know, they don't want to relinquish power to an international organization.
But the problem is, that, you know, it's a secret society. It's very secretive. And so even people that are in the National Party high up that aren't globalists, well, probably they would be globalists for them to get into that position. But we've got to have a thorough clean out. We've got to, like Donald Trump used to say, I've got to clean the swamp. And that's what needs to happen in both National and Labor. And we need it filled with people that love New Zealand and want to do what the New Zealand people want. And we build our country the way we want it and give them a mandate, what we want, not the orders that they're receiving from Klaus Schwab or whoever else it's going to be that takes his place. We want politicians that work for us, not work for a foreign power. So we've got to get them out. How do you get them out? How do we weed these people out?
Well, you've got to start. The first thing you've got to do, there's no party that's going to do it for you. None of those small parties are
absolutely
going to do it for you.
I totally agree, 100%.
So what has to happen is there has to be a substantial lobby group that can grab them by the wrist and twist their arms up their backs.
And forget about politics. You know, in other words, forget about political parties. Put your energies into the lobby group.
That's what I think should happen.
I agree.
And it should, but you know, it needs to be properly funded. So it needs to, it needs to be a like-minded group of people thinking the same, with the same aims in mind, who appear to be reasonable and sensible. Because I notice that some of the policies of some of these funny little parties are not what I would call sensible. I can't be specific about that right now, but because of my memory. But at the same time, you know, I believe that the change in New Zealand is going to come through one of the major parties, and as far as I'm concerned, there are three of them, because I've got to say that as far as I'm concerned, the Greens can't be considered sensible people. I think they're mad as hatters, but you know, in amongst them there'll be people who mean well, But the basic idea of having, you know, dropping speed limits and all that sort of thing is just damn silly. And closing down oil refineries and stopping drilling and deciding that they're going to do everything to make this country a third world country. They need to go. But I do think that a lot of people who vote for Green are too naive to actually know what's going on. So, and so what they're doing is they're voting for a bunch of Marxists who rush off and do their own thing, and the people who voted for them don't know what they're doing. And so, and you know, that's, and part of the problem with that is, so part of the problem with that is that it's the broadcasting people, the media, are not keeping people informed.
Well, they've been paid off. They're bought. $54 million, a group of $54 million, as John.
That's right. But the other thing that comes about as a result of that, as a result of those sort of big dollops of money, is that they end up infesting the media with left leaning lunatics, and that shouldn't happen. So we have a democracy needs an independent and an independent and honest and media with people with integrity, and we haven't got that.
Well, I think
if they take the money away, that's not going to go away.
I think one of the best things that's ever happened is the people, you know, the citizen journalists. I think they're the best. That's who we should be listening to. And forget about these big, massive corporations. We shouldn't give them the money. And I think it's happening already. I think people are going away from mainstream media and they're looking at alternative media. But I think the alternative media is going to become mainstream. And it's going to be fairer because we're going to be able to look and see and get an idea of what's being said, and then choose for ourselves what we think is correct, instead of just listening and just being brainwashed by a Radio New Zealand or ZB or TVNZ. We're just being brainwashed by these organisations, which are very powerful. And that's why political parties use the media, because they know they can sway the thinking of the masses. But I think they're losing that. But the fact that she's trying to stop social media and she's trying to bring in hate speech tells me that they're scared stiff of citizen journalists and they want to silence us. It's a form of censorship out and out.
But Grant, to be real about that, I absolutely take on board what you say. But the problem with that is that in amongst the dynamic of the way human nature works means that some of those citizen journalists will become more popular than others, and they will bubble to the top.
Absolutely.
And so you'll still end up with a very few people who are calling the shots.
No, you have the more the merrier. The more there are, the better it's going to be. We're going to, you know, if you could just get your news from it's really one source, really, isn't it? We've got the government radio and television, and then you've got NZME. I don't think they're a private corporation, but they're all paid off. And I know people that work for them that have now no longer working for these organisations, and they said we were gagged. We couldn't say anything negative to what the government was saying about the vaccines or about injuries. We couldn't say anything. We were gagged. She said, "I'm glad I'm out of it. I've given it away.
Well, but I think that we all know. I think every citizen in New Zealand basically knows that the media are the problem.
The control.
And that they're being controlled by the government. That is the Nazi and communist tactic all day long. And the idea that any of that's honest is just silly. So, you know, there needs to, you know, so, you know, I mean, we've got this bloody Zoom business or whatever. There needs to be a forum, a people's forum of some sort, a big, great big arena somewhere where people, all kinds of people can come in and speak.
Well, she's trying to get rid of that. Ardern is trying to get rid of that. She has agreements with Twitter until Elon Musk bought Twitter. She had agreements with Twitter, partnerships, she called them, partnerships with Facebook, to silence people like you and I, so that everyday New Zealanders couldn't hear what we were talking about. I mean, say 5,000 people following you on Facebook and you get one like or two likes, that's because you've been shadow banned and people aren't seeing your stuff.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that.
So that's censorship. That's book burning material. They're stopping us from being heard.
Oh, look, it's an extremely dishonest thing for a government to do. But, I mean, they were pretty open about doing it.
Yes, but it's wrong.
They
spun it to us that it was a good thing, that it was disinformation and misinformation. They're the biggest disinformation merchants in the business is the
government. It's just the invention of it's just the invention of a new word, disinformation.
So I don't know. I think
Joseph Goebbels. Joseph Goebbels was very good at that.
Yes. We've got 10 minutes. So I think we do need to forget about small parties. I totally agree with you there. Get rid of the small parties. We're just wasting our time, and form and get into some decent sized lobby groups. And you don't have to agree with every point. You know, if you get 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 of the things that they stand for, then go with that. You're never going to, it's like buying a house. You never get the perfect house. You've just got to, you know, just accept you're only going to get 75% of what you were after, because the perfect house usually isn't out there. Same with political parties. But we need to get in and lobby, and then we need to put our people in. Like, our people need to go into national. People like Matt King shouldn't be in his own party. He should be back in national. But the thing is, how do they block you from getting in? So we've got to find a way to stop large parties from blocking our candidates.
Is that what they do?
Well, of course.
I've wondered about that.
Well, of course they do. I mean, you know,
when I was involved in that Silent Majority Team New Zealand, with Mike, and I did most of the writing for that. A local guy who was deeply embedded in the National Party, he came along and opened discussions with us. He did. He said, there's a whole lot of things that, you know, you guys can do to help us, but he said, there's a whole lot of things you can do to harm us too. And I said, look, you know, we're going to do what we want to do.
That's good.
But don't think we're just going to cooperate. And he said, but you know, we accept a lot of what you say is real and blah, blah, blah. And so they were prepared to discuss it.
As you say, you had them.
All we had to do was say, well, yes, but we're going to maintain our autonomy. Yes. So sit down and talk about it. And you know, one of the other groups we talked to were the New Conservative Party at the time. I mean, the egos in the room, I'll tell you what, they were banging against the walls.
In the New Conservative Party?
And, well, yeah, not just with them, but with our group as well. Everybody thought they were going to be on the top.
Mm.
And it's delusional, you know, to think that
it is.
It's delusional for a small political party to be sitting around with a group of people in a room somewhere and having a conversation about how they're going to rule the world. It is just as dumb as dirt. Mm. I know that Hitler did that, but, you know, they were prepared to go out on the streets and do extreme violence.
They had the propaganda. They had that. You know, they had leaflets. They had everything at their disposal to convince.
What they didn't have is what we have, and that is electronic media.
Now imagine if they had. Imagine if they had. Well, she's doing the same thing right now. She's trying to stop it. Do you know how many people have lost their Facebook page, their YouTube channel? How many people can't be found on Google now that used to be able to? People are being demonetized. The whole and they start there when it, 2 years ago when COVID first came out. People lost their whole channel and their private websites went down because the government put pressure on the people, the ISPs.
I got to wonder why it is that I wonder every day why it is they haven't come for me.
Well, obviously you and I, we only talk to half a dozen people, so we don't bother anybody.
I'll tell you what,
it's just an echo chamber.
I was doing that stuff, when doing the writing on Silent Majority Team New Zealand.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was good stuff.
I was getting a lot of likes every day.
Oh, yeah.
And you see, now there's one of the other things we all have to realize about Facebook, and that is that the likes are not exactly an aphrodisiac, but what they are is they're like a drug.
Well, that's true. But the thing with that Team New Zealand, what was it called? Something.
So it was Silent Majority Team New
Zealand.
Both excellent names.
Absolutely. You still weren't able to speak freely on Facebook. Your administrators had to be very careful what they said because they that Facebook have got an agreement with the government and they would have taken it down. So you've got to get rid of, we have to have a free media. A free social media and a free media that are free to say whatever they like, whether the government likes it or not. And if we upset people and we offend people, good. That's part of a free and democratic society. We have to be able to have the right to offend. There we are. Another.
This on the thing here, it says we've got 2 more minutes. Let me finish this off by saying something that we can decide later on whether we let this go or not. Okay. I would like to appeal to Mike Jacob and the people behind NNP to bring Silent Majority Team New Zealand back without its connection to a political party, because there was a lot of people there who found that they had a voice. And there was a lot of people there that were looking at that and seeing it as something that was growing. As soon as NNP started, the growth stopped. And so I would like to think that Mike might come out and make an announcement that he's going to separate the two, because I think that was one of the cleverest political things that any private individual had done in New Zealand for decades. And that's what I think.
I absolutely agree with that. Dennis, as always, it's a pleasure for me to listen to you, listen to your thoughts and ideas. And
great to talk to you too, yeah.
Thanks very much. All right, until next time. Dennis Hall and Grant Edwards on Liberty NZ.
People should not be walking around with masks. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better. And
masks are protective. And
but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
That if, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Because now the CDC says, I mean, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate.
And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
And are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci? Look like you are.